Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Well, gentlemen and ladies, children, freakazoids, coming in slow on this one, coming in not hot. What's the opposite of coming in cool on this one? Because I have no idea how long I'm going to have to talk and for how quickly, for how long. So I want to maintain vocal sanctity in what is a two-part episode. Part one, we're going to talk a bit about pairings on today's show, because that's a question that's been coming up a lot, and the concept of whether or not it's actually something that needs to be done these days. And then we will segue into the marathon Q&A session, or prospective one, because I have no idea if we're going to get enough questions to do a marathon Q&A session. The amount of stuff I get asked on Twitter is endless, daunting, and I can't get to all of it. So I'm hoping that some of you bring it over into this chat room on YouTube today, because we do really finally have an opportunity to answer some questions. First and foremost, hello everyone. I am Dan Vesperis, the host of Fantasy NBA Today. This is a Sports Ethos presentation. Happy Friday to you all. We are 18 days. Did the math. It was hard. Until the start of the NBA season, training camp is officially underway. Kicked off yesterday with Mavs and Wolves in, I think that game was in Abu Dhabi, wasn't it? Am I getting that right? Right? In the UAE? I don't know. Who the hell's going to talk back at me? I'm alone on this thing. I think that one was in the Emirates. And, man, life is good. It's basketball. I don't care that it was bad training camp basketball. One thing I will say here at the start of the show, two things, actually. Number one, Dan Vesperis on Twitter, at DanBesBris. I'm going to be reminding you guys of that throughout the show. It's a big part of what I do, especially during the season. We're only 18 days away. I would say you absolutely positively must get on social media and follow me at Dan Vesperis, because we do streaming chatter during the day. We have end of game recap type stuff at night. We have Burger Board. The Burger Board. That's a replacement player terminology that we came up with last year that makes no real sense. But, you know, players ranked on number of hamburgers they're going to get to eat on a given night. And there's just 1,000 things that happen during the day, every day during the NBA season that you don't want to wait for a podcast however many number of hours later to get. So, at Dan Vesperis on social media. Twitter's the one that I actually use regularly because it's the fastest. Second thing is, please rate and like and or subscribe. All that good stuff. If even a handful of you hit the like button every time I say it, it's a big deal. More people find the show. You can see, looking at how some of the shows on the Sports Ethos channel on YouTube do, that the ones that get liked get more views and then get more likes, and it sort of snowballs like that, and it starts with all of you. Those of you watching here at the beginning of the show, whether it's live, whatever, hit the button, then everybody else gets to do it and kind of follow you on that front. Next thing is, and I want to just sort of dive right into this concept of pairing. So I didn't put this in the graphic for the show. I will put it in the title of the episode. So, I mean, hopefully that'll get it all out there. But I just kind of want to look at the top 24, basically, because, and in my estimation, this is sort of a common occurrence, is that people get really taken with the idea of pairings. Because, and I get it, for a long time, it made a lot of sense to go get a first-round player that was like a traditional guard, and a second-round player that was a traditional big. You put them together and you cover a lot of the fantasy categories. It's like if you could put Joel Embiid and James Harden together on a fantasy team, what do you get out of that? Well, you get this last season a pretty good start in points, not game-ending level the way that Harden used to be, but you get a decent chunk of threes, you get a pretty damn good start in rebounds, you get a very good start in assists, your steals are actually excellent, blocks are, I would say, pretty good actually, because Harden gets you half, field goal percent gets leveled off between the big and the guard. In this particular case, you have two good foul shooters, so that's a positive. basically, you come into the third round at that point with your only real negative category as turnovers. That's kind of the traditional way to look at it. The problem is that those types of pairings just don't occur anymore. Trae Young is kind of the only traditional guard build player. I guess Freddie Van Fleet probably falls into that, but he doesn't get as many assists as Trae. Freddie was at 7 and change last year. How that holds in Houston remains to be seen, but let's just assume it's kind of close. Trae Young, in his 26.10 assist output, is kind of your only traditional point guard stat set guy, even going anywhere in the second round right now. James Harden is pre-ranked 25, and he has all this stuff swirling around him, and what would his job be if he got traded to the Clippers the way he wants to? Your big assist guys in this draft are generally going pretty early. Just going by who had the big assist numbers last year, it's James Harden, who's a third rounder right now, Halliburton, who's a first, Trae Young, who's a second, Jokic, a first, Chris Paul, like a sixth, LaMelo Ball, a first, Luka, first, Dame, first, Drew Holiday, like third or fourth, but again, weird team stuff. And then Darius Garland, who's going somewhere between 25 and 40. Then you've got Domantas Sabonis, who's actually a high assist guy in the second round, but he doesn't give you the other guard stats. So I know what you're thinking. You're like, Dan, there are other guys that get you assists. It's not just about that one category when you're looking at this concept of pairing. Oh, I forgot to mention at the beginning, please, Lord, anybody watching this show right now, put your questions in the chat room, anybody watching live at least. Don't wait to do it until the end. I don't know how the thing cycles while people are paying attention to it. Get your questions in. I'm going to be starting at the top. I lost a few that were posted first thing in the morning, so apologies to the dude who posted two or three questions. They just vanished. YouTube killed them. So the first one that I see is like around 9 a.m. Pacific time. So get them back in there if your stuff disappeared. I'll sort through it later. But back to this idea of pairing. Yes, Domantas Sabonis is a guy in the second round that gets assists. But when you talk about this idea of the pair, it's about multiple categories. It's not just assists. When you're drafting the guard, whatever you want to call it, the point guard type of guy, you want someone that's going to bring you usually three-pointers, assists, sometimes steals, definitely free throw percent. Domantas Sabonis brings you one of those things I just mentioned. Now, could you pair him with a guard from the first round who was lower in assists? Yes, that's how things all get tweaked a bunch of different times. But it's also why this idea of the first and second round pair is a little bit antiquated, I think. But let's just go through the board. Let's go through the top 12 and see who makes sense as someone to put with them in the second grouping of 12 and or why. Let's say you've got the first overall pick. You've got Nikola Jokic. So you start with a player who is fine at points, but not great for a first rounder. Low in three-pointers. Excellent rebounds, assists. Very solid steal start, especially for a big man. Terrific game-changing field goal percent. And free throw is kind of fine. So if you were looking for a pairing, you're looking for a second-round pick who can score, hit threes, block shots, okay? How are we doing so far? Hit free throws, and probably also is okay enough in steals to not cost you in that. Anybody that hits those categories? I'll say them again. Scoring, threes, okay, that's fine. There's a couple of the guys towards the end of the second round that I guess can give you scoring and threes, like Desmond Bane is going to score a bunch and he'll hit some threes. Kawhi scores and hits threes. Lauri Markkanen scores and hits threes. But do any of those guys block shots? Are any of those guys terrific foul shooters? Kawhi is sort of a positive there. Markkanen, I guess. So is the pairing with Jokic Lauri Markkanen? This is why I think this whole concept is a little bit goofball. Because you've now created a team. Let's say that you were exclusively focused on the idea of the pair, and you were too afraid to go the Kawhi route, which I think you could get away with it, but let's say that you didn't want to go down that path. Now you've covered up some of your free throw issue. You certainly have a defensive stats issue after two rounds. Great. You know, you're okay in points because Markkanen is a good scorer of folks going in that 25 range, and he's covered you up some of your issues in threes, and rebounds remain a positive, assists slide back towards the average. What were you actually trying to accomplish here again? You guys get what I'm going here. I'm not going through all the first 12 players on this discussion. There are a handful, like a select few, where you're like, okay, this is where I want to go. The beauty of Nikola Jokic is you can almost go anywhere with him. If you did decide to, say, go the Lauri Markkanen route, well, then you look after two rounds, you're like, okay, well, what do I need to deal with now? I'm probably going to need someone to pick up some assists again because I went big and then I went little as I yanked one of my earbuds out of my ear mid-sentence. Too much gesticulating, Dan. I'm going to need defensive stats. Okay, I can deal with that. But the thing about Nikola Jokic is he's good at so many stuff that it doesn't have to be that. What if you ended up deciding to go Kawhi? Probably need a few more threes. Rebounds, assists remain in better shape. Steals is in very good shape. What did I say? Threes, blocks. Is that what's left now? Okay. We can probably get that out of somebody. Maybe over a couple of players. There's always something to do with Nikola Jokic. All right, let's say you have the second pick in your league and you go the Luka Doncic route. Okay. You have a couple choices here. You're very good in scoring. Threes, rebounds, assists, steals, and field goal percent is fine. You're very bad in free throw percent as a first rounder. And I know it's like, oh, you can cover. Yeah, you can cover up Luka's issues in free throws. But the problem is that the guys that typically cover up the bad free throw shooters are the guys getting drafted in the top 15. If you don't get one there, and in fact, if you go the other way, it becomes like triply hard to make up for that issue. So yeah, I mean, each player on the board, for Luka, you say, which direction do I want to go here? Let me offer a counter proposal on this idea of the pairing. Again, please do continue to throw questions in the chat room as we go here. My counter proposal is, your first two picks are your favorite two picks available to you at that juncture. I did a mock draft yesterday that was, let's say, not the best. Is that fair? I did a mock draft yesterday that was a little bit goofy. It was a 10-teamer. I had the 10th pick. I wanted to see what would happen if I was drafting on the turn. I thought for sure that Dame or LaMelo would be gone, and I would go little man, big man at the 10-11 range because you've got, I thought I would have Dame or LaMelo, and then I could pair them up with either Anthony Davis or Domantas Sabonis, depending on whether I wanted to go more in the assists durability direction or the shoot the moon, get my defensive stats extra. I mean, that's the thing with Anthony Davis. There's like two things he's better than, and for Domantas Sabonis, it's more like one. So it's like, do I go durability and shore up one category, or do I go brittle and shore up two? And then it got to me at 10, and both Dame and LaMelo were still on the board. And I thought, all right, well, this is a head-to-head mock draft, so I'm taking them both. I did a very poor job of covering that issue later in the draft, as you guys will see if you go back and watch that episode, but that's just the thing. I took the two guys there that I liked the most for that head-to-head 10-team build, and I went with it. And you can do that. Do I regret not going, say, Anthony Davis with Dame at 11? No, not really, because in head-to-head, you don't have to win eight categories to win. If that was a roto league, I don't think I would have gone guard-guard, but I do think most of you guys that are watching these shows, especially on the YouTube side, and maybe on the listenership side, it's more like a 50-50 split, but more of you guys are playing head-to-head than roto anyway. Roto, maybe you make an argument that a pair makes most sense, but I don't think you need to do it there either. I think the argument for it has more merit in roto than in head-to-head, because you hit a point at some turn along your draft, some fork in the road, where you're like, oh no, you know, if I'm bad at three categories, I'm not winning this roto league. And by that point, it's probably too late to make up for them. But you still don't have to do it in the first and second round. Let's say that it, and I got to go figure out exactly how the draft results played out in that league. So let me see if I can pull up some old emails while we're doing this live show. So, you know, thinking back to that league yesterday, and let's see here. Where are the mock draft results? Ah, there they are. The third round, it got to me, and Miles Turner was still on the board. So was Kristaps Porzingis, if I wanted to. So, bam. Cover-up blocks right there. Terrific. I chose not to because Kawhi Leonard and James Harden were still out there, and so I kind of leaned harder into it. But if you're worried about things disappearing on you, that's the way to take care of that. End of the fifth round, could I have gone super early and taken someone like a Brook Lopez? I guess. Or I could have gone with a more traditional bad foul shooting big, like Walker Kessler, who was still available there for me. So, you know, things I did differently during that mock, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about yesterday's questions, is that, or yesterday's mock draft, is that if it's a roto league, you still don't have to do it in the first two rounds. Emmanuel in the chat room is getting impatient. Is he ever going to answer questions? Emmanuel, you obviously missed the beginning of this show. We're talking about pairings for the first 15-ish minutes or so to allow the questions to populate. Come on, man. Come on, man. You can mute me in the background if you like. I don't care. We'll get to the questions. I'm planning on being here for a very, very long time. And right now I see about 20-ish questions or so. I don't know if I'm going to catch up on those while other questions are coming. But the main point here, I think, on the pairing front is not so much that there's an obvious guy you take with a guy. You guys can all see who's good at what and when you want to slide them together. The point I wanted to make is that you don't have to do it in the first two rounds. You don't have to go Dame Anthony Davis. You can go Dame Anthony Edwards. You can go Dame LaMelo Ball, as I did in yesterday's mock draft. You can go Haliburton in the first and another, like, Mikal Bridges in the second, who doesn't cover up your what you're lacking with Tyrese in the first. And you can make up for that in the third, in the fourth round. The things that you can't get as readily as the draft goes on is all of it at the same time. That's what the first and the second round are for. You get great, 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 great in four or five different categories. If there's overlap, okay. Head-to-head, you can deal with even more of that. But again, as you get to the third, you get to the fourth, you're getting guys that are good or great in two or three categories instead of four or five. And that's when you can cover up the probably three, four categories you wouldn't be good at if you doubled up on stuff in the first round. Lewis Life with some good advice here. You can drop a question and watch the replay later. That's right. You can definitely do that. Let's go up to the top. We'll start to look at some of the questions. I may pivot back into some of my own fantasy freewheeling thoughts as we go here. This was one that came over from Twitter. This was Harumph, who didn't have a chance to get over here and post it himself. Again, folks, please do like, subscribe, post your questions as you're listening to us go here. I'm going to be going until they dry up. I got to try. You know, one of these days I'm going to try flipping this board around. I think the back is white. I don't know if that works great as a green screen. Probably not, because I'm wearing a Bakersfield Blaze 2012 California League first half champion shirt that has a bunch of white on it. But in any event, first question from Harumph. Who are your top guys to jump from the 70s to top 50 and from the 90s or later to top 75? So actually, let's pull the draft board back up here for a minute. Let's go to the 70s range, dudes. Make sure I'm saying the right guys. So here's 70 starts for those listening in. 70 runs from Tyler Hero, Brook Lopez, Jeremy Grant, Clint Capella, Terry Rozier, Tyus Jones, Jalen Green, Franz Wagner, Michael Porter Jr., Jakob Poeltl, CJ McCollum, the Time Lord, Marcus Smart, Anfernee Simons, Markelle Fultz, Tobias Harris. That's 70 through 85. If you wanted to go all the way to 90, it'd be Gafford, Mark Williams, Kyle Kuzma, Draymond Green, and Buddy Hield. Favorite guys, and Harumph, I assume this question you're asking about is who makes it into the top 50 from this on a per-game basis. So going through one by one, I think there's actually like a 50-50 shot. Brooke Lopez is inside the top 50 per game. I think Jeremy Grant has a pretty good shot to get inside the top 50 per game. Though with Grant, you are obviously dealing with the, I would say, sizable risk of a shutdown. So keep that in the back of your head. I'm not as worried about it because I'm ending my head-to-head leagues 3 weeks early. Right? And then with Roto, you just, you know, you pile it up as it goes, and that's not too bad because you miss out on a few games at the end. It's not the end of the world for you. So continuing on that list there. So Brooke Lopez, Jeremy Grant, Clint Capella, actually, as much as he will likely be incredibly boring, he was number 41 last year, and his role seems heavily unchanged to this point. Not really in on the Terry Rozier thing. Tyus Jones is someone I like in this range. Pirtle is someone I like in this range. Simons, probably not 50, but 60s. I think he's got a good shot at it. And then Tobias Harris at 85 has a shot to get top 50, depending on who comes back in a James Harden trade, but that one's still kind of hanging in the balance a little bit. Now let's go beyond 90. Who are the guys that can be top 75? I'm not going to read them all to you because that would take way too long, and there's simply far too many names here. But guys, that could be a top 75 per game. Andrew Wiggins, believe it or not, he's not one of my favorite players on the board, but before he went down last year, he was top 40. Then he came back, and he just sort of wasn't the same. He finished at number 63, which feels somewhat repeatable for him. Jalen Duren, I'm going to need to see more blocks out of him to say top 75, but he's got a shot at it. Klay Thompson, very much. Mitchell Robinson, very much. These guys have top 75 appeal. Austin Reeves is close, but not quite. John Collins could get there as a little bit more of a big swing type of player. I don't really want Miles Bridges on my fantasy team, but yes, he could conceivably get inside the top 75. Onyeka Okongwu was exactly number 75 last year. De'Anthony Melton was right around there as well. See if we can much farther down we can go on the board here. Jabari Smith Jr. could take a step forward, but he'd be more of a long shot, kind of a dark horse type. Nurk could go top 75 if he gets his game back. But again, you're starting to get into the lower probability big swing type of dudes. I don't think Bruce Brown gets there. I think he's more like a 90 range dude, but getting him in the 120s is not bad. Keegan Murray is also more of like a 90 range kind of guy. How fast can we skim down the board here? Early in the season, that might kind of be it. Thompson Twins could get there late in the year. I don't think... Well, Ben Simmons, I guess he could be top... We've seen him go top 60 if he actually is healthy. I don't really believe it, but at that juncture, you might as well take a shot at it. B-Ball Paul has an outside shot, and Christian Wood. Might be about as far as I go. Without punting stuff. Yeah, that's probably my board there. All right, so I took a little time with question one. Maximilian, talk a little bit about Bam. How high is a reach? I could see a bigger role in an angry Heat team. Consider him at 23 to pair with Halliburton or Cade, or Halliburton and Cade. The appeal on Bam Adebayo is that he is very durable. He played 75 out of 82 games last year. He's a steals first big man who was pretty good in both percentages. I don't think I'm taking him at 25. I'm not sure what the appeal is on Bam over a guy like Vooch, honestly. And I know that everybody sort of hates Vooch these days because he's extremely boring. But Bam scored 20 points. Vooch scored 18. Is that the big difference? I mean, Vooch out-rebounded him by 2, which is a really big deal, actually, from the center spot. Same assist count last year. Bam was a little bit better in steals, but you could see Vooch actually come back up a little bit there. And then both guys were positive contributors in the percentages. I don't really want either of those guys at 25, and unfortunately right now there aren't many big men going in that range unless Cat kind of falls to around 25. Siakam and... Yeah, I think he's the only other center-eligible player going anywhere near that spot. Maybe JJJ if he falls far enough. I don't think I'm going Bam that early. It's just too much for me. Sorry, I might go a different way. But if you really wanted to go Halliburton and Cade, you might just... Cade in the third, if you're not punting field goal. I'm also not a huge fan of that if you're not punting field goal. He's such a great punt field goal guy. Anyway, which guys for blocks mid to late rounds? I want to stack up on guards and assists early with my second pick, but I want to be competitive in blocks too. Lots of them. And actually, Yahoo gets a lot of the projections. Like, they're not going to be right, but they have the idea right in their blocks projections among guys going the sort of the mid to late. So if you're starting at, say, 50, Kessler is a blocks guy. So is Nick Claxton. DeAndre Ayton is not a blocks guy. Let me keep that in the back of your mind. Jared Allen is sort of like a semi-blocks guy. Rudy Gobert, blocks guy in the 60 to 70 range. Brooke Lopez and Clint Capella down there as well. Jakob Poeltl is a pretty good one. Gafford, who's listed as a forward right now, but he's probably profiling as about 1.5. Mark Williams at probably like 1.3, something like that. You can even go a bit further. Jalen Duren, not as much, but Mitchell Robinson is a good blocks guy, and he's going near 100. So there are a lot of them. Okongwu will be probably over a block. Zach Collins will probably get you about one per game, and then it dries up quick, unless you're going punt mode after that. Keep throwing questions in now. We've got the live audience here. It took them about 20 minutes to find the show, but here we go. Richard, I know your rule of thumb is to never go into a draft strategy already punting. But when and what round do you determine your punt strategy? Do you even like the idea of punting in head-to-head leagues? Yes, I do think you need to punt in very competitive head-to-head leagues. Yes, because you're just not going to be, like, your opponents are too smart. You're not going to be able to clobber them in 8 categories. You're probably going to want to go for 7 and then settle for 6. I'm deciding if I'm punting after my second round pick. That's where I'm at. That basically means I'm not taking Giannis in the first round because that forces me to punt after one pick. I prefer to make that decision after 2. Here's one that I ported over from Twitter as well. There's a debate in a slow draft chat about whether or not you can mention undrafted players as a joke or otherwise. Is this a thing? Yes. Do not talk about players still on the board. Never. You have no idea what people are looking at in your chat room. Even a joke about a player might give somebody an idea. And unless you're trying to get them to take that dude, don't talk about him. Shh. Tell your league mates too. Shut the bleep up. Stelios, one of my leagues introduced swapping picks prior to the draft. I own the 12th pick. You don't own it, buddy. You have the 12th pick. We got to get this ownership thing out of the lexicon, I think. 16-teamer, 13-category head-to-head. I don't know what the hell you're talking about here, but let's just go with the main idea. If I trade, Stelios, you're trading one of your early picks. Do you believe I can compensate the loss with loaded middle-round picks? Typically, no. Now, the 12th pick is not as good, I'll admit that, but usually first-round picks are worth like a late third. First-round picks are like a third and a fourth together. Early first-round picks are like a late first and sometimes a third together. Like, they're very, 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 very valuable. Do not trade those unless you're getting multiple pretty damn early picks back. Dan, would you pick Desmond Bain over Kawhi at pick 29 on an 18-team head-to-head 9-cat setting? Would like to know your opinion. Well, so this would be your second-round pick then. It depends a little bit on how you got in the first. I am doing a poor job of doing that math in my head, but I think this means that you basically had like the 10th pick. No, 9th pick? 8th pick. 8th pick, right? Yeah, so you had the 8th pick. So that means you're getting somebody like a Dame or a LaMelo or a Durant or something like that. If you got Dame in the first, I think you could go Kawhi and risk it a little bit. If you have any risk in your first-round pick, you go a different direction. You go Desmond Bane, I think. But Kawhi at 29 is a pretty sexy value. And in a deeper league, sometimes you got to take a swing. Oh, boy. One of the 12-team head-to-head leagues I'm in does points, threes, boards, assists, steals, blocks, turnovers, and then double-double, triple-double instead of percentages. How would you approach a draft like this? Is Sabonis a late first-rounder? Honestly, I don't know that it changes Sabonis all that much because he's very good in field goal, but he's bad in free throw. Well, I guess he could get some triple-doubles. Yeah, I mean, he moves up a little, because double doubles will come pretty easily to him, and you're going to want to get a lot of those. Is he a first rounder? I honestly don't know off the top of my head. You need to go into one of those player engines and just plug it in. But yes, he does become more valuable is sort of the hand-wavy answer to that question. Keep him coming, man. Lewis Life says he can't wait for the In-N-Out burger boards. That's right, baby. Chris, longtime hoop baller. Have you found the best draft positions to lean into a guard-heavy lineup where you wait on centers? You know, it changes a bit depending on the mock, because the one yesterday, I didn't think I was going to end up in a guard-guard first and second round build, and then I got it. Now, admittedly, that was a 10-teamer, so that did change things a little bit. You know, around pick four, you could end up with Shea, Halliburton, or if you really want to do Steph in the first round, and then you could probably get like a Van Vliet in the second. I doubt Trey gets to you, and I doubt Donovan Mitchell gets to you, but those would also be options in that range. Booker is not my favorite second round pick, but, you know, for so that guard build. The answer to your question is probably in that like 4 to 6 range, or more like the 10, where maybe you get LaMelo or Dame, and then coming back you could do Trey or Donovan Mitchell or something like that. So those are probably the two mostly right answers to that. LaMelo first round makes sense. I think it makes sense if you just accept that you're probably punting field goal at that point. Because it's the same thing like with Luka. You don't really want to take a first-round pick that's going to tank you in a category other than turnovers, because they're all pretty high in turnovers, the first-round guys. So forget that one for a minute among first-round picks. LaMelo and Luka are the only guys going in the first round this year that are medium or larger negative contributors in any category. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Dan, what about Dame? Well, Dame actually shot 46% from the field last year. So he kind of wiped out that big negative by turning it into a sort of medium negative. Jason Tatum, basically the same story there. The only guys going in the first round this year that have a big negative, so like a medium deep red if you're looking at one of the scoring boards, is Luka in free throws and LaMelo Ball in field goal percent. That's it. So in my mind, Roto, probably not. I'm probably not going LaMelo in the first. Head-to-head, you can, and then you just steer into the spin. Emmanuel, would you trade Max Strus and Kelly Oubre for Daniel Gafford? Yes, because I think on one side you've got two dudes that are barely going to do anything, and on the other side I think you got a starting center. Oh, what's the best pair at 11 and 14? I'm glad you asked. Go back and watch the first 17 minutes of the show. Ha, 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 ha. Seriously, though, don't worry about the pair there, man. Take the two guys you love the most and then fill in whatever gaps you need in the third, fourth, fifth round, and so on. Seriously. Would you pick Dame over Giannis? Yes. Yeah. For me, I don't like building around Giannis. I find it frustrating. I don't like punting free throws, and I also think that his knee is not good. Hey guys, this is a great opportunity to remind everybody to please hit the like button in between questions. Like, subscribe. If you're listening, if you're watching, subscribe. We're going here, man, until somebody turns the lights off on me. I haven't even seen how many questions are in the chat room. I'm hoping it's a lot, but I don't even really know at this point. I'm not even scrolling down. I'm just going one question at a time and attacking them as they show up. Let's keep going. How do you feel about Derek Lively? I'm not dealing with it, really. I know he's going to get some run, but they've got like two or three other centers, and it's going to rotate depending on who's alive on any given night. Dwight Powell, Rashawn Holmes, I think Kleba's still floating around out there. There's no job security. Hey, Josh. First question of the day for Josh. I have picked 12 and a 14-teamer. Is Donovan Mitchell too early to pick at 12? I'm going to say yes. There's no like perfect answer here because he was number 15 last season. I do think he regresses a tiny bit to more like 20 range. And at 12, you can get guys that are better than that on a per-game basis. And Donovan Mitchell does tend to miss about 10 to 15 games per season now. It's not usually a giant number, but it's also not like he's probably not getting to 74, 75 games played. So, yes, that's a little too early on Donnie. See if you can get him on the way back. Is LaVine over DeMar crazy? No, DeMar's a trade risk, and LaVine isn't. I like DeMar more. You know, he was a 20s range guy last season, and LaVine was 50, so it's a pretty substantial gap between those two dudes, largely due to DeMar's far superior defensive stats, about 0.4 defensive stats better per game. DeMar also a better foul shooter by volume, so bigger impact there, much better, actually not that much, small amount better from the field. That's actually pretty close between the two guys. DeRozan a little bit better in assists. It's one of those things where like a lot of little things adds up, but it's not insane if you're worried that DeMar is going to get traded. You can feel the voice starting to go. At some point, maybe, well, when this water runs out, we'll hit a quick pause. I'll go get some water, and I'll tell you guys about my buddies at Manscaped. But I still got a little left. Please rank my top three keepers. Scotty Barnes, Jalen Williams, Marcus Smart, Walker Kessler, Alperen Şengün, Onyeka Okongwu. Right now, I, Jonathan, am leaning towards Scotty Barnes, Walker Kessler, and Jalen Williams. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm actually on board with those three. Yeah, it's not Smart. It's not Okongwu while he's still a backup. Şengün's the only one I might consider over Barnes. But you got a center in Kessler there. Yeah, I got no problem with your choice. Maybe Şengün over Barnes, but I'm okay with your choices there. Mark Williams or Jalen Duren in a head-to-head, but also a head-to-head points. Oh, okay, so category or points. Category league, I think I go Mark Williams points. Maybe I'm going to go Mark Williams in both because of the advantage in blocks. I think that's where he has his edge. But it's tight, man. It's tight. We're splitting hairs a little bit there. Dan, greetings from North Hollywood. What's up, Lewis? I just want to thank you for helping me win a couple of my leagues. I have a keeper question regarding one of mine this year. 10-teamer, two-center league. All right, let me go to his, the other half of this question, then we'll loop back around to the ones in between there. Pick three. Siakam is a sixth-rounder, Kawhi in the ninth, Cam Johnson 10 and 11th, or Giddey for in that 10-11 as well. I am thinking, this is Lewis speaking, of going Siakam, Kawhi, and Giddey, and doing a soft point of threes and free throw percent. Well, Kawhi in the ninth is a no-brainer because you'll get first-round per-game value out of a ninth-round pick. That's absolutely insane. These are all pretty good choices. Siakam in the sixth is a big win also. I think you probably, I'm assuming you lose your sixth-round pick by keeping him there. I'm going to go Siakam and Kawhi for sure, but I think I actually probably go Cam and just understand that you're going to want to make sure that you get a few extra assists early on. But Siakam is a good assisting big man. Kawhi will get you a handful from the wing. I don't think that you need Giddey, who has a lot of low floor issues in nine category leagues, that Cam Johnson doesn't. And yeah, I mean, you're getting Siakam and Kawhi late, so you're going to have some more turnovers there, and you're going to have some turnovers in the first rounds also. So go Cam Johnson. You get a low turnover guy in, keep yourself somewhat competitive there. Archaic Sun. Say you went super big in a 12-teamer. That is, IE, by the way, stands for it is, which means that is. If you wanted to do, for example, that is EG, by the way, if we're going to do weird grammar stuff today. Say you went Cat, AD, Ayton, and Spida among your first four picks in whatever order, I guess. Would you go DeMar or Tyrese Maxey in the fifth? I'm likely punting assists or threes. Advice? Or do I go Walker Kessler is the next part of this question. Whew, boy. So your rebounds are fine. You have one big man who blocks shots. The other ones don't. So it's a weird build here. where you've got three big men, but only one of them actually handles the blocked shot element. And if you're going to go big, you probably want to make sure that you're winning field goal percent, blocks, and rebounds. Those are like the guaranteed you must win these. And then probably also turnovers, frankly, because anybody you play is going to have more guards than you, and those guys are generally going to turn the ball over. So I might, believe it or not, go Walker Kessler and go one more big man. Or if you go Tyrese Maxey, make sure that you can still compete in scoring categories, which makes a lot of sense. Just make sure that you get like a Capella or we talked about Mark Williams or Daniel Gafford. Someone in that range, even if it's Brook Lopez who doesn't rebound as much, you got it. You need one more big man who blocks shots because you've gone huge, but you haven't gotten great at one of the key big man things. Steven says you should have your head in books, not draft picks and pairings. I like it, buddy. I'm almost out of water. It's almost time for our first advertiser break. Does Dame, Bain, and Holiday make sense for the first three rounds? No, I'm not doing Drew in the third. I get it, it's an 18-teamer, but I think I'd go another way. I get it, you want steals, and you're trying to pair those up with Dame and Bain. But to me, it's just too early to go on the Drew thing. Boston kind of lets their guys play probably more than Milwaukee does, so maybe I shouldn't be that worried about Drew playing 67, 68 games or less. But I like the Dame Bane start. That's pretty good. I think I might try to go big in the third round here. Yeah. Wayne T. Oh, man, there's a lot of questions. Huh? I guess I better pick up the pace. Hey, Dan, in a 9-cat league head-to-head, is it possible to build a competitive team in both percentages? Tips? Yeah, absolutely. Look at the guys going in the first round. A lot of them are good in both. Jokic, good in both. Embiid, great in both. Shea, good in both. Well, good in one, great in the other. Durant, great in both. Steph, good in one, great in the other. Halliburton, good in one, great in the other. Irving, same thing. I guess he's towards the end of it. The guys going in the first round that are not good in both would be Luka, Tatum, Giannis, LaMelo, and Dame. 7 of the 12 players going in the first round are good in both percentages. We can do the same exercise in the second round. Devin Booker, good in both. Mikal Bridges, good in both. JJJ, actually, kind of, not a great in free throws, but pretty good in both. Kawhi, great in both. Jimmy Butler, good in both. So they're out there, and if you get two volume guys at the top of your draft that are good in both percentages, then the rest of the way you're just dodging the big-time tankers. So, like, the big men who are awful in free throw shooting and counterweight your stuff all by themselves, the Dylan Brooks type who's just chucking away on offense. It can be done. I love doing it on the roto side. Head-to-head, obviously, you've got the week-to-week fluctuation, so it's not as easy to say this is how it's going to go on week 4. But you figure over the entire year, if you're pretty good in the percentages, you're going to win them more often than you're going to lose them. Who do you think has the highest chance to be this year's SGA? So that was like when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors. A lot of things had to go perfectly at the same time. SGA was getting drafted around 20, remember, when leagues opened last year in August of 2022. News came out in September that he was hurt going into training camp, and he dropped from the 20 spot down near 40. News came out about 5 days before the season started that he was expected to play on opening night, but the ADP didn't change. Most of the drafts had already happened by that point, so he was still had an ADP of 40, even though basically, he was like a guy that was going to get drafted at 20. So that's nobody this year. There's no one that's gone at 20, and news came out that they were hurt and they fell 20 spots. Instead, you kind of have to look at guys that are getting drafted near 20 this year and say, hey, can any of these guys be top 3? And the answer is Kawhi. That's the only one. Is there going to be someone from down the board that jumps from like 50 to top 5? I highly doubt it. Is there someone down the board that could jump from 50 to like top 15 or 20? Yeah, that's a possibility. Someone like a Chet Holmgren could take a big leap. Evan Mobley, if he steps into a much larger offensive role, could jump into the 20s. I don't think Miles Turner is going to get to do more on offense, but he has an outside shot. DeJounte Murray could get back up into that range. I don't know that there's anybody too much farther down the board than that that could really take that kind of flying leap forward, like the magical return of Bradley Beal, but I doubt it. So the answer to your question is kind of no. That was my last sip of water for this first segment. So I'm going to talk about this question from Parsi, and then I'm going to go get some water, and then I'm going to tell you guys about Manscaped, and then we're going to keep going in the marathon session here. Parsi says, I'm picking Jonathan Isaac in the last round. Not a question. I just want you to know. I like that. That's good. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. He has a crazy fantasy profile, so I kind of get it. I also think his team doesn't like him. He's been sort of visibly against almost all the things that the NBA is working for these last 3 years. But if he's good enough, they'll play him. And if he's not hurt by the third week of the season, you can kind of call it a win. Okay, everybody. I'm going to play a couple seconds of music while I refill my water. You can just watch me get up and walk away. Actually, you know what? I'm going to put a draft board on for you guys while I get up and walk away. I don't know why I was looking at this area. But I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere out of this thing. But let me tell you guys about our pals over at manscaped.com. In fact, ooh, I got a better idea. Let's do this for you. Boom. Manscaped floating in the background around my head. Don't use that coupon that just popped up. 10% off? No. Their website says sign up and get 10% off. Fine, I'm going to ignore their cookies request here. I'm going to draw your attention to those watching to a device right in the middle of your screen. And that's the handyman. And I'm actually going to go to it here if I can find it. Let's go. It's under tools, I think. There it is. The compact face shaver, the handyman. It's $80 at manscaped.com. And it's an actual electric razor. But if you use our coupon code ETHOS20, you get 20% off and free shipping. So 80 drops down to 64 and free shipping. So it's 64 is 64. 20% off and free shipping with coupon code ETHOS20 over at manscaped.com. This is what you use. And my face is not a good example of this because I have I have neck stubble right now. I got a lot of work to do. But it's a 60-minute runtime. It's got skin-safe technology, like so many other things do at manscaped.com. Charges with a USB-C cable, so you can plug it into your machine. You can plug it in on your computer to charge. You get the adapter, plug it into the wall. It's got a 5-minute quick charge option. If you're like, you got a meeting coming up and you're running out of time, just boom, 5-minute quick charge, just get you enough to get through the day. It's got a sweet cover, which you can't see on your screen right now, but you could kind of on the earlier one. I'll try to rotate through some of the pictures. There it is in its case. There it is with the cover coming off. Look at that. That's sleek. And they've got a picture that's nice. There it is in a human hand. Small, you know, thumb to ring finger size, basically. So easy to travel with. Very cool. They've got another new thing coming out in 10 days that I can't wait to tell you guys about. But again, over at manscaped.com, that is coupon code ETHOS20. For 20% off and free shipping on your Manscaped order. Back to the chat room we go. Let's throw my face back up on there. You guys got to read Parsi's funny comment for a while. What is this one? RJ211 says, I have the 9th and 10th pick. What? Keepers are Durant and Giannis. Who would you target in rounds 3 and 4? Oh, okay, so you've kept your 9th and 10th. Durant and Giannis is a weird pair. You may want to consider punting threes. You're only getting two a game, basically, out of your first two dudes. Giannis, if his free throw comes back up a little bit, then you don't have to punt them because of Kevin Durant. He can paper over like half of the damage Giannis did last year. If he comes back to what he was the previous couple of seasons, then you could just sort of be average in foul shooting. So what I'd say then is, third, fourth rounds, decide if you want to punt three-pointers. Because if you do, then you could go big, shore up some of that stuff. And if you don't, then you're going to go assist three-pointer type guard, like a Darius Garland would be the other selection there that kind of rolls it all together for you. I skipped Chris. I'm tempted to go Steph and Dame in my salary cap draft and build from there. Well, Chris, I am not a big salary cap guy. Our dude Jared Russo over at Sports Ethos would have something to add there. Feels like Dame in a salary cap league is rough. Dame and Steph together leaves you any money? Not my wheelhouse. Basically, I'll just say that. This is not my wheelhouse. But I'd be tempted to see if you could get somebody who's not going to be making like $55 million. It's got to be a lot of your cap, right? Ah, well, not a good answer. Sorry. Another keeper question. I got five picked in Hallie. Oh, these are your keepers. Halliburton, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeJounte, and Walker Kessler. Is there anybody good left on the draft board? Originally thought I'd be punting points. Seems pretty balanced now. What else should I look for on draft day? Let's see. You're decent in assists. I wouldn't say great. DeJounte's decent, and then Hallie's very good. Threes. There you go. There's your answer. Threes. Points are okay. Boards are okay. Yeah, boards are pretty good. Blocks are good. Steals are pretty good. Field goal percent is strong. Free throw is okay. Kessler's going to bring that down a bit. And then with AD, DeJounte's only okay. So you're probably going threes and free throw? There you go. Is there a case to go Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at two? Yeah, there's a case. I've made it on this show a few times, so I'm not going to go through all the points again, but it's not the most insane thing to do in the world. He was number three per game and totals last year, so that's as close as you can get to two. I have picked 12. Oh, I saw this one already. Let's see. A couple of questions that I did actually do that got repeated here. Hey, again, please like, subscribe, and oh, you know what I forgot to do? It's been a while. I insist you guys find me on social media at Dan Bespris, DanBesBris, over on Twitter in particular. That's the one that's going to be the big bopper. So come find me over there. Maybe some of you did in the middle of the show. I hope that when I go back to social media after this, that there's like two or three new follows just from the live viewing alone. Seriously, you got to find me over on social. It is critically important. All right, see what we got here. First pick in a 14-teamer. Obviously, I'm taking Jokic. I want to try punting points. Who do you like near the 28-29 turn for this strategy? Okay, that's a pretty good question. I would say if Harden's still on the board, he's an intriguing one because he's not actually scoring as much as he used to. Leans into a lot of what Jokic does well. And then Miles Turner's not insane if you want to cover blocks with not a super high-scoring guy. I think Miles makes sense. You go a little early on him there, but, you know, one of the things that people are afraid of with Turner is the fact that he doesn't score all that much. So, I don't know. I think that helps. Lewis, do you implement any pickup limits in your leagues? One is suggesting a 45-move limit for the year. 2 moves a week? Absolutely not. That's insane with the amount of games that people miss this year. I assume this is head-to-head. I operate on, like most leagues, which is a 4 weekly moves limit. 5 kind of ends up being a lot. There's a bleep ton. Almost try not to swear on this show. There's a poop load of streaming in a 5-move week. The 4 seems to be kind of like the juicy midpoint on that. And then with Roto, none, because it's a games cap, so it doesn't matter. Is first-round LaMelo or second-round Trae Young forced to punt turnovers? I think if you have both, you're probably punting turnovers, but one or the other, no, because a lot of guys at the top of the board are very bad at turnovers. Trae happens to be the worst, and LaMelo was like third worst, so second worst? Basically, he's in like a trio with Luka and Jokic. If you have two of the three worst turnover guys, yeah, you're probably punting them. But one of them alone, you can come away from that pretty easily. A couple of guys in like the fourth, fifth round that are in the 1.2 range, and you're good to go. How high do you think Victor Wembanyama should be picked? 40s. Mr. Soap. This man feels clean. Punt point boosts bigs with bad free throw percent. Also drops your threes. Thoughts on punting all three, or what would you rather? Bleep, marry, kill. So I don't usually punt free throws when I punt points. I try to be adequate in at least one of the two percentages. When I punt points in Roto, I try to do it alone. And there are really easy ways to do that. You just make sure that you have like one or two three-point guys that aren't bad field goal dudes. And then, you know, Jokic helps a lot in this regard. But if you have a big man who's good at field goal but not terrible at free throw shooting, that can be a pretty good weapon in this one as well. I wouldn't punt all three. Probably easier to punt threes also, because then you can go big like a Domantas Sabonis who gives you assists. You pair him up with like a Chris Paul who doesn't score very much and doesn't shoot threes, or a Markel Fultz or a Tyus Jones. There's plenty of guards that fit the punt points, fix your assists and steals and whatever stuff, but still are not very good in threes. This question sort of follows up on that. What do you punt with points? Again, I try to make it nothing, if at all possible, but the second easiest is probably threes, for whatever that's worth. All right, let's see what we got here. Head-to-head. Tatum, Bridges, George, and a punt-assist build. Who do you take at pick 43? Porzingis, LaVine, Jaylen Brown, Poole, or DeMar DeRozan? You're punting assists. Why not? I don't know, man. I think it's easier to punt big man stuff. I know you can make up for rebounds and blocks later, but it probably is going to kill your very good free throw percent. I don't think I would go those three to start. If you go Tatum and Bridges in your first two, you're almost required to take an assist first guard or a big man style big in the third round. None of the guys you've listed here really are that. Like, you got LaVine, scoring wing, Brown, scoring wing, Poole, scoring guard, DeRozan, scoring wing, Kristaps, unicorn big. I think I'm probably going Porzingis, trying to shore up boards, try to get field goal percent back into the mix a little bit here, and blocks, or you could punt field goal percent also at this point. Go Jordan Poole and just lean into it real hard and then make sure you're getting assist guys immediately thereafter. That's a tough trio to start from. I watched a few mock drafts from 2022 today, says Harumph, and I realized that no one really knows anything when it comes to draft day. Do you agree? No. I actually don't. I do think doing a crap ton of mocks can throw you off because the cross-section of people you're playing with changes in every single mock draft. You know the people in your league better than I do, and if you're jumping into a Yahoo public prize league, the skill level's a little bit lower. But by and large, you can have an idea of which guys are going where in mock drafts. So to that end, you know, this is sort of the bucketology discussion we had last offseason. If you group your players in clusters, if you'd have clusters of players, you can have an idea of which direction you want to go at each pocket or so along in the draft, if that makes sense. So we have an idea. You're never going to know the exact order of things. That's impossible. But we have a pretty good idea of where guys are going. And then if Yahoo shifts their board, then you have to kind of relook at it again. I traded Desmond Bane and Zion for Nick Claxton and Jamal Murray with assist to turnovers instead of turnovers to solidify and blocks assists and assist to turnover ratio. Is this a decent move? I think getting off of Zion is good in general. It's a pretty fair trade. I think Bane is probably your best player in that mix during the regular season this year, but Zion could also turn out to be a dookie. And so at least you get two guys you feel like you can trust a little bit more. Yeah, it's fine. Either way, really, like, this trade is close enough where I don't think anybody should be pissed about it. Did you talk about Kyrie? Is he a first or second rounder? Is he worth the risk? Not where he's going right now, he's not. Kyrie's going, I think Yahoo bumped him up. Let's throw it. Yeah, they bumped him up to 8. Yahoo did in their last rearrange. That's too early. I liked it when he was going at like 15. That felt great to me. But I don't want that at the end of the first round. That's too tough. My first 7 picks in an 8-player keeper. Double-double instead of turnover. Out of the one spot. Jokic, Steph, KD, LeBron, PG, Jimmy Butler, and Van Vliet. How crazy am I for taking all the oldies? What? Wait, you got all of these guys? Oh, 8-team. When you say 8-player, you say 8-team. It's an 8-teamer, but that means you got Steph. That means you got Steph at 16? KD 17? I think LeBron and PG I would probably sub out because I don't know that their per-game ranks are going to be as amazing as usual. But Jokic, Steph, Kevin Durant, Butler, Van Vliet, those guys are all supreme values. That was a beatdown. Who are the best 3 players to pair with Shea? Well, watch the first 17 minutes of the show. You can do anything you want, man. You can do anything you want. You get Shea at 4. That means that you got pick 21 coming back in the second round. You can go JJJ. You can go Desmond Bane. You can go Kawhi Leonard. You can go Jimmy Butler. You can go Mikal Bridges. You could go Spida if he's still there. You could do anything you want because those first 2 picks don't necessarily define what your team is going to be. I cannot make this clearly enough, state it clearly enough today. You don't need to have a pair in the first 2 rounds. You don't. By the 3rd and 4th, you start to fill in a gap a little bit or two. Maybe you take your second favorite guy. First 2 rounds, take your favorites. The ones you really think give you the best stats nightly. I'm in a roto league with only 8 teams. Oof, sorry, get more. Each team drafts only 10 players. Oh, God. How many people would you draft on Flyers? 80 players rostered? Good God, there are no Flyers in your league. 80 players are going to be good. I'm sorry, dude. My advice here is expand your league. There's no strategy there. You can draft anything you want. The opposite it is you can make every pick after you're like pick 35 a flyer. You're just hunting guys that are top 25 or better in a league this shallow. Am I starting to catch up on questions? A bunch came in. Oh my God. Holy moly. I better pick up the pace, huh? I did say it was a marathon, so we'll keep on rumbling here. So you're leaning towards getting Maxi and then getting another shot block towards the end? Yes, this is to a question that went earlier. Correct. When are you planning on doing a mock Roto League draft? I did one 2 weeks ago, I think. I think the next Roto draft you see will be one I post on Twitter from an actual draft I'm doing. So I don't know if it's going to be a YouTube video. So just, again, social media, at Dan Vespris. I'll be posting draft results over there. Are there any rookies or players coming back from injury you would be targeting in a keeper or dynasty league who have great upside for next year and beyond? Whew, I probably should have said that this is a redraft geared marathon Q&A. Jonathan Isaac? No. Let's push this somewhere else. I'm not sure that I follow some of the questions. I had to skip a couple there. Who do you think takes JJJ's minutes? What? Did something terrible happen to him since I started talking earlier today? Is JJJ okay? Guys? What did I miss? Nobody. JJJ takes his minutes. I'm confused. Will Al Horford play enough to be a member of the old man squad? Probably not. Probably not. Kristaps is going to miss some time, and those games Horford will be a burger board kind of dude. But night to night, I don't think there's going to be enough. It would surprise me if Boston went Horford and Porzingis together the way they did with Time Lord, because Porzingis can already space the floor himself. But you never know. They might go that route. Maxi over DeMar? No. I'll go DeMar. Field goal punt build. Punt blocks or punt rebounds? I think it has to do with who you get in like the third, fourth, and fifth rounds. Because if you're punting field goal, you're probably going guard heavy first two at the very least. If the third round, if that's like time to go get Miles Turner or something like that, or if you get Chet in the fourth, you're probably punting rebounds. If you ended up with like... yeah, it's probably easier to punt rebounds because there are big men that do the more guardy things that still block shots. There aren't that many that rebound that do the guardy thing. Like Draymond, I guess. So I'd probably punt rebounds if I was going to pick a second one. What are your thoughts on Josh Giddey? I think Josh Giddey is generally getting overdrafted because he attacks a couple of categories in head-to-head that he definitely doesn't do enough good in Roto to make up for it. So I don't like him in the 60s. He was like outside the top 100 last year in 9 cat, a little bit higher than that in 8, but not really my cup of tea. For blocks, Wemby or Miles Turner? Miles. I think he's just going to be better equipped to handle an entire NBA season. Why do your kids wear the same glasses as you in your Twitter profile pic? They don't, man. Those glasses are blue. My kids' glasses are blue. My Twitter profile pic. Let me see which one that is. Oh, there they are. Yeah. They're not as similar as they look in that picture. The older ones are kind of similar, like the frame shape, but the little one actually wears bifocals. So if you see them at a better angle, they don't really look like my glasses. But my kids have wonky eyes. I can't explain it. I didn't get glasses till I was 15, but my kids, older one got them at 3, younger one got them at 2 because there was crossing. Luckily, they've been able to fix it with glasses to this point. So to the question of why, genetics. But what's really cool about my kids' glasses, by the way, is that they're called Dilly Dallies. I don't know if I can, maybe I can pull them up here. I'm going to try to spell it. Dilly Dally glasses. Here you go. I'll put it on the screen for you guys. These things are crazy because their website doesn't really show what I was trying to have you guys show. All right, you can sort of see it at the top here. Here, take a look at this. So that teal one up at the top, you can see how along the sides it's got those little ridges. Those are bend points. So the glasses can flex all over the place. It's fantastic for a 2-year-old because that dude would have destroyed his glasses 6 times by now. They're pretty cool. Why does Paul George get so much hate? I don't think he's that much far from Kawhi. One of them was a top 5 guy. Kawhi was the top 3 guy the second half of last year, and Paul George was around number 30 over that stretch. So, yeah, I mean, they're pretty different. If you're punting free throws, that brings them a little closer together. So I guess I sort of understand that. Kawhi was number 5 down the stretch. If you're punting free throws or turnovers, and Paul George jumps up to 24. But Kawhi was better by a lot in field goal percent. He actually beat him in steals, which was kind of surprising. He beat him in blocks. He beat him in free throw percent. They were tied in threes. They were basically tied in rebounds and assists. Paul George, I guess, beat him in assists by a little bit. It's amazing. It's one of those things that's sort of hard to internalize, but the fact that Kawhi was better than PG by a little bit in like 5 categories, that's what elevates him. And they both barely played, so there you go. Hey, Dan, picked at 10. In a 14-teamer, I took Trae Young, then Kat, Vooch, Randall, Zion, Middleton, respectively, and Ja at 104. Is this a decent team? I don't know if I'm going Trae at 10. That's real early on a dude who was in the 40s per game in 9-cat last year. And you did say 9-cat. And then you went Kat, and then you went Vooch. So you got these big men that aren't blocking shots. And then you went Randall, which is fine because your first three picks were better at free throw shooting. But then you went Zion, and you're like, all right, the hell with free throw shooting. Now I'm going to cover up Trey's bad field goal percent. But now I'm like kind of only okay. I'm better in field goal now, but my free throw is bad, and my threes are not that great. And my assists started out really good, and I guess they're okay because Randall gets a few. It's sort of a weird team. Actually, sorry, AJ, I was giving you, and then I don't like Middleton at all. I'm not touching him. So, sort of a goofy identity maybe on this team. Maybe take Zion if you can and turn him into somebody that leans more into the pre-existing strengths of your team, or turn Vooch into a guard or Kat into a guard. I'm going into an 8 to 10 team draft next Monday. Any shallow draft advice? We do auction. Well, you can't really pile up the mid-rounders. A lot of middling guys for auctions is a pretty common strategy. But that's in a 12-teamer. 8-teamer, like, you're going to have to catch some lightning in a bottle, man. Because everybody's expensive. Ah, well. When are you going to do a show on Roto Strategy, please and thank you? I'm trying to do it on a weekend in there somewhere. Although, look, let's be honest. A lot of what I say is Roto-centric. I've tried to do more head-to-head here lately because everybody was like, Dan, you don't do head-to-head stuff. And now everybody's like, Dan, what happened to all the Roto stuff? I can only talk so much, as evidenced by the fact that this marathon show is eventually going to kill me, but we're going to keep rolling for now. Again, reminder, like, subscribe, rate and review, follow on the Twitters. Why is everyone so high on Kawhi? He's going to play around 55 games, if that. It's going to take him a month to get up to speed like last year, so we're looking at 35 games of a good value. I disagree, actually. Clippers have been very forceful that he's coming into camp healthy. I don't think he even played in training camp last year. He wasn't even close to healthy. He'll be a part of training camp. We'll get a good eye on him there. He's saying all the right things, which no one actually has said basically since Toronto Kawhi about him trying to play more games this year. So I think we might even get into the low 60s this season. And if you get a top five per game guy at pick 30, you don't even need that many games for him to hit value. It's a math game at this point. Because look, Kawhi, and how about look at the second half of last year, if you want a good example of this. Second half of this most recent season, I can't yell because I'm starting to lose my voice now. Kawhi was number 4 per game over the final 35 games of the year. And over the last 3 months, he was number 2 by totals, people. He played in more games than almost anybody. I'm not kidding. When he tried, he played. Hey, Dan, love your content. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Out of these players, who has more chance to make an all-star squad? Jamal Murray, Evan Mobley, or Kyle Kuzma? Probably Jamal Murray. Dame leaving the West helps. So that was something. I know Beal going to the West helps, but I think Jamal would have a better case than him. I think it's Jamal, because everybody saw him in the playoffs. If he keeps that rolling, I don't think Mobley's going to score enough to make an all-star team, and I don't think the Wizards are going to win enough for Kuzma to make an all-star team. Rank the following. Chet Holmgren, Jared Allen, DeAndre Ayton, Walker Kessler, Nick Claxton. I'll go around fourth and fifth round. Okay, let's go. Holmgren 1. Kessler 2. Is this per game? All right, we'll go per game. Holmgren 1. Kessler 2. Claxton 3. Oh, Allen and Ayton, man, you're splitting hairs. They're pretty similar. Allen will block more shots. Ayton will score more. Allen, Ayton, I don't care. Do whatever the hell you want in those ones. Seriously, do whatever the hell you want. Let me do a quick self-promo here from a couple of the Sports Ethos accounts. See if a couple of people might be able to discover us here as we embark upon hour 120 or whatever it is that's happening right now. Probably should have given you guys some music during that. Anyway, let's see what's going on here. Oh, we lost a couple of live viewers. Wah. Who do you have ranking higher at the end of next season? Paolo Banchero or Jalen Green? End of next... this coming season? Or the following one? I'm going to say Paolo. We'll go Paolo. I have Shea as a keeper in round 3. I'm the 11th pick. Who should I aim in the 11 and 14 draft slots? Wowee! What a great... that puts you in the catbird seat, man. So, you're scoring... your steals, both of your percentages are in terrific shape. I think you want to make sure that one of the two guys you get is a very good three-point shooter. It would also be reasonable to expect one of the two guys you get to be a powerhouse big man, but it doesn't have to be one of each. You know, if you went two big men, that's fine. No, fourth round, then you shore up whatever that one thing is. Dude, like, honestly, you can do almost anything. Because it sounds like the way your league is structured, most of the other first rounders are going to be on the board. You're in a great spot right now. Holy smokes. Terrific spot. I think I hear my kid trying to wake up from a power nap. That's not going great for him, is it? So, I don't know if Dame's still going to be there. You could go LaMelo, lean into the guard stuff at one. You could go AD. You could go Sabonis with one of them. World's your oyster, my friend. The world is your oyster. Are there any players in particular you believe Yahoo is just too low on in terms of their rankings? Yes, a ton, man, but I'm not going to list them all on this one. That'll be for a different show. Archaic, I got to admit, I don't remember your exact situation. In a vacuum, DeMar, Maxey, or Kessler? I'm going DeMar, Kessler, and Maxey. Is Jared Vanderbilt going to start this season? I don't think so. I think Rui or Wood is going to be the fifth starter for the Lakers, but I also think that when they play a team with either a very large size scoring guard or a sort of a dominant wing, that Vanderbilt might get a spot start, like against an Anthony Edwards or a Ja Morant when he's back. Vanderbilt's not that great at screen navigation, so he's not going to be in there against a team that has a really good, like, traditional scoring guard, like a Steph Curry. You saw that matchup for the Lakers in the playoffs. But if he's going against a guard or a wing that's bigger and goes a lot of ISO stuff, I think you'll see him in there for those games. I should have taken breaks from speaking. Do you like Jordan Poole inside the top 50 like most analysts? I don't, actually. I don't like his low defensive stats. He's going to have to get an absolute boatload of shots to get higher than top 40. I could definitely see him getting to that 40 range if he's just scoring. But something is going to have to be there. Like, the free throws are going to have to get back up to 92 or 93 for him to really make that colossal leap. I liked Poole when I could get him in the 50s and 60s, but this latest push has maybe priced him out for me. Dan, should the fantasy playoff schedule be considered when drafting? In your first two rounds, yes. Your first and second rounders, you want to make sure that they don't have any two-gamers in your fantasy playoffs. I know everybody's like, well, you got to get there first. Yeah, but if you get there with these guys, then you're just going to get run over. Why should we trust Kawhi or PG over someone like DeJounte? You don't need to, actually. I like DeJounte in that same range. I got no problem with that. I think Kawhi, you got the better per game potential, not PG. I haven't said many nice things about him in fantasy at all this year. If you go back through all my shows. Yeah, I could do DeJounte over Kawhi. I got no problem with that. Who would you recommend to combo with Embiid? I'm leaning towards targeting Kat or JJJ. Wow, you're going big. I don't know if I'd go big.
I don't think I'd go big. I don't think I would.
I think I'd rather go for a guard in there or someone with guard-like stats. Oh, we're getting towards the end of the questions. Oh, my Lord. Thank goodness, because my voice is dying. Again, everybody, please, if you're tuning in live or after the fact, come find me on Twitter, and please do like and subscribe. I don't have the window open to see how many of you have actually followed through on my requests for you to hit the like or subscribe button. I hope it's a bunch of you. Hey, Dan. Thanks, Dan. Went for Upside with Zion. Amazing show, by the way. Been following you since 2021. Awesome. Happy to have you, my man. Similar to Kawhi, why is everyone so down on Butler? He was top 10 in per game and totals last year. Well, I personally was down on him when I thought Dame was coming to town. I'm not so down on him anymore. Roto in particular, I would go Kawhi Butler at 24-25 if they're there. That's a monster set. Now, the hope is that you have someone from the first round that is more sort of hyper elite in either a big or little kind of category, because Kawhi and Butler are not great at, say, rebounds or assists, but they do a ton of everything. And then you just got to make sure that you get this sort of like big Z score rebounder, like an Embiid or a Jokic from the first round, or you have the big Z score assist guy like a Halliburton. Tatum with Kawhi and Butler would be a really weird pair, if that makes sense. Oh, a couple more questions trickling in here. Is the Brewski 150 out yet? Why is it so amazing? Also, does it work with the Sports Ethos Draft Tracker? Yes, it's out for Ethos 360 subs. It's released to different subscribers at different times. So the folks that have the like hyper elite VIP level access to the site, that's Ethos 360. It's like having the Diamond Elite member of whatever other things out there. They have the B150 as of 2 days ago. And as soon as you have access to it, it gets inserted into the draft tracker. There's a different file you download that has the B150 built into it instead of the Yahoo ESPN projection engines. The old school bundle, which is Wager Pass and All Sport together, that gets B150 access, I believe, on the 9th. The All Sport Fantasy Pass gets the B150 on the 12th. And the standard NBA Fantasy Pass gets it on the 14th, I think is the order of all of those things. Why is it so amazing? Well, because Aaron Brewski puts more time and effort into his rank list than anybody on the planet. Simple as that. He uses that board and has to win massive high-stakes leagues for 2 decades now, and there just simply hasn't been a board created since fantasy started that has won more often than it. And it's one of those things where, like, sometimes it comes in second place, but the team that comes in first seems to rotate, whereas it's like B150 first place, B150 second, first, third, first, second. There just isn't a board that is so consistently great season over season over that same track record. I think he's been doing it since his time in Roto World like 15 years ago, and I think this is the 7th one at SportsEthos/HoopBall. And he breaks it down after the fact. That's another thing. A lot of people put a list out into the world, and it's just there. Brew does a review of every pick on his board that he releases in the summertime, so you kind of see how it does. This last year, he's the first one to tell you, not his best year. Still beat most of the other websites out there, but he wants more. But it still beat most of them. And so a down year for that is still a pretty good year, but he's always looking to be the, you know, win the $15,000, $20,000 leagues with that sort of deal. And then, yes, it does work with the draft tracker once your subscription type gets access to it. Please order Trey Jones, Tyus Jones, CP3, and Markelle Fultz. I'll go Tyus. I'll go CP3, I'll go Fultz, I'll go Trey. That's my order there. I'm looking at both Anthonys with pick 13 and 16. Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards. Does it sound sane? Yeah, you're probably punting free throws, though. I know they're not traditional punt foul shot guys, but neither one of them is good. And if you don't get a good free throw shooter in your first two, you're probably giving that up. But you're in pretty good shape in basically everything else. Team's going to score. Team's going to rebound. Threes will be iffy. not dead in the water. You'll probably want to make those up at some point. And you're going to want to make up assists. So you're going to need a threes assist guy at some point along the way. And then you'll be okay. Would you rather have DeJounte Murray or Bam Adebayo in head-to-head? I would rather have DeJounte Murray. I have picked two in a 12-team league, so I almost have the back-to-back in the second and three turn. If I start with Embiid, would you recommend going guard? Would you recommend going guard wing at those picks? It doesn't have to be guard wing, but I do think that one of those should be a guard. Is that fair? Yeah. Carpo Flake says, the end. Almost. There's a few more trickling in. Asaf Winkler, I pick third in a nine cat. Can you tell me who would you pick one through four? Dude, that's impossible, man. I don't have any idea who exactly is going to be there for your team. I can't. That's an impossible question. If you're picking third, the guys that are probably going to be on the board for you coming back in the second round are guys like Bridges, JJJ, Bain, Kawhi, and Jimmy Butler. I actually like all of those guys. And then the guys that are going to be on the board for you early in the third round are probably going to be like LeBron, Pascal Siakam, Paul George, Miles Turner, DeJounte Murray, Cade Cunningham, Bam Adebayo. I think I probably like Miles, DeJounte as my two preferred in that group, but like they might all be gone. How do you feel about OG Anunoby this year? I think he's going to be in the 40s this season. He's always a little bit banged up. The Raptors are a threat to pull the pin partway through. Probably won't, but it's a threat. So I think he's actually getting drafted around where he should be. I think he's like a very calm, respectable, fine pick at there. Vassell is the next Kawhi and could be top 30 this year. Hot take or good bet? I like Devin Vassell. I have this weird fear with the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, like Vassell played 38 games last year. He's nowhere near Kawhi in percentages. So, like, just put that out of your mind. Vassell was a 44-78 split last season. I think target for him this year would be, can he get from that 80 range to more like the 50-60 range? Which is going to require an improvement in the percentages because I don't think the volume changes that much for him. Because, like, Wemby's in town now, and otherwise the Spurs didn't change all that much. So it's not volume. It's going to have to be efficiency. And if he takes a jump in one or both, he jumps into that 50 range. But I don't think he's anywhere near Kawhi in the leap coming for him, at least season over season. I think it's going to be kind of gradual, which you see from a lot of guys. You know, they go from 44 to 46, they get up to 48, blah, blah. I'm not targeting Vassell this year. I'm not targeting almost any Spurs. I think like Zach Collins is the only one because he's going outside the top 100. So no, I don't think Vassell gets top 30 this season. I think 50 is achievable. And even that, I don't know if it's going to happen, but he is fun. He's a good basketball player. Just got to improve on those percents. Neil says, trying Roto for the first time after playing head-to-head for 20 years. Wow! Welcome, my friend! From listening to you for years, I know punting isn't advisable, and also risky players are less risky. Yeah, those are sort of two big ones. There's a very weird question coming up in the chat room that caught my eye. Yeah, so you don't want to go all risk, you know? So, like, you don't want to go Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, like, run it all. Because at some point, you're going to need to get 82 games out of somebody. But things like shutdown risk, that's not a huge deal because you get terrific stats from them for 70 games. And you're like, great, okay. And at the end of the season, there's all these... wow, the chat room's gotten real weird at the end. There's all these weird pickups at the end of the season that you can use to cover up when guys fall down, and there's no moves limit in Roto. So if you need to do it with six of your guys all in 2 days, no big deal. NBD, no big deal. You're chasing per game upside. You're likely looking at a relatively, I mean, punting, like, you can soft punt one thing and get away with it okay in Roto. I wouldn't do it on draft night, though. That's a decision I think I would make as the season goes along. But look, Neil, I'm happy to usher you through this thing on the Roto front. Also, beginning of the season, don't play your whole team in Roto, because games cap games are extremely valuable. So play the guys that you know are going to be putting up good numbers, maybe like your top nine guys to start the year. And because remember, you can always make up those games missed later. Best punt for Shea, maybe assists. Threes is quite puntable. He doesn't shoot threes. He's decent in assists. Threes, he does nothing. The assist side is also reasonable because the guys that are available towards the end of the second, early third are not gigantic assist dudes. But you can get a good chunk of threes out of some of them. So that, I get it, like Harden gives you three threes a game. Kawhi is two, is in that range. Bane is three threes. And those guys aren't, well, Harden, I guess, is an assist guy. Again, I really just feel like we're so worried about what punt we do right after the first pick that we're getting kind of out in front of our skis a little. Don't worry about that. If I could really beg of you, don't worry about it after your first pick. See who's back for you at that second one and say which of these guys is going to be the best fantasy player this year. And if you like Bane and you put Bane with Shea, sure, punt assists. I don't care. Or punt a big man stat. Or don't punt anything. I don't think you need to make that call as early as folks want to do. This is the silly question. Hey, I've been a fan for a long time. I always wanted to ask you if you ever considered smearing feces all over your face live on stream. Oh, boy. And this guy says, I've seen people talking about that, Michael. And this is, and then someone asked if they can see feet. You guys want to see my feet? That's really weird. They're in socks right now. It's a pair of Dickies work socks. Oh, yeah. Oh, here's a good one. Rank the top three strongest punt builds this year. Not really my lane. You know I love punt points on the Roto side. I think it's really easy to pull off, actually, in Roto, because a lot of the guys that fall on the board are the non-scoring types. Head-to-head, you need a little bit more solid week-to-week production to pull off that kind of thing. Punt field goal is a relatively easy one. If you're sort of new to punting, that one comes without too many strings attached. I think punt assists has an interesting lane. I'm going to try to get Adam Stock on the show at some point next week. We'll talk a little bit like big-time punt strategy. He's a punt guy. Michael says, oh, I don't know why people are being weird. I had a genuine question. Who are you? I'm sure I know you, but I don't know who's burner phoning me here. Okay, that's cool. I'm not sure I completely follow that question. Great stuff. So I traded Bane and Zion for Claxton and Jay, but I think that may have been a mistake now. What are your thoughts? This is back for the question from earlier, Jamal Murray and so on and so forth. Yeah, I think I'd probably prefer the Bane Zion side, but again, I really just don't think there's a problem with this one. Oh, here's the question rewritten. What is your best first and second round duo if I'm picking third? Well, I mean, I guess if I had to pick a duo, I'd probably go Halliburton and... Crap, I don't know. You go Butler or JJJ, maybe? I don't like this idea of the duo thing. I'm sorry, man. I'm gonna dump on you again. Sorry, Asaf. We're so worried about duos. Take the guys you like. I'm at the turn for a 10-team points league. Too risky taking Durant and AD. Yeah, too risky. Too risky if it's head to head. And also points formats, they're both very good, but they both lose something. Durant in particular loses something in points because his massive percentages are such a big part of what he does here. This chat turned into Twitch chat real quick. This is a new thing for me. I'm about to head off now. Before I leave, I just wanted to ask for your opinion Oh, that's absolutely disgusting. I apologize. What is going on in this chat room? Oh, here we go. Would love to hear more about Roto punt points strategy. It's something you can pull off, I think, mid-season really easily. What is going on in this chat? Does this happen to people all the time? Man, this is weird. What's everybody's obsession with poop today? Listen, I got two kids. I can talk about poop all day. You guys aren't weirding me out. You're weirding out the rest of the room, I'm sure, but my kid at 10:10 this morning told me he needed to poop, and we ran into the bathroom, and boom, out it goes. And it was in the toilet. It was a great victory. I'll talk about poop for the next 20 minutes if you guys want. Wow, they just keep coming. Are you more likely to go into an auction draft with a punt in mind, or is it still pick your punt after a first couple of picks? I'm not a big auction guy, so I will kindly pass on this one, Harumph. Sorry, I don't want to give bad advice. Who's your top six? Jokic, Embiid, Halliburton, Shea, Tatum, Dame, I think. Maybe Steph. Man, I gotta sort the chat room right now. How do you weigh the injury risk when drafting guys like Kawhi, PG, Durant, and AD? Could end up having all on one team sounds risky. So, if this is, I mean, Ryan, I think you asked earlier for a points league. If this is a Roto Games Cap league at 82 games, I could make a weird argument that you go Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi. But you cannot take a risk pretty much after that. But if two of those three guys are upright, your team is amazing. And if all three give you, like, an even decent performance, but it's so much risk. Like, your team could completely come apart. So I don't think I would do it in almost any format. The only one that you'd even partially consider it would be Games Cap Roto. Is there any player you think is a must-steal for this season, talking late rounds? So I kind of want to save this topic for its own show, if at all possible, because I'd actually really like to do kind of a, what you'd call sleepers is the buzzword for it, but, you know, I don't know that that's a thing anymore, the concept of a sleeper. Like, we've all heard of everybody in the NBA. The question, a sleeper is just at this point a guy who's ranked, like, absurdly low for the kind of performance that they're going to give you. So stay tuned. We'll have a show on that probably next week, but I guess there's a possibility that we push it back even a tiny bit more. You know, the closer to the season we get, the more it'll hit people. And so I think I do want to be involved in that. A couple more poop questions in the chat room, and I think maybe we put a bow on that. That was the last question, and I finished my second glass of water at the hour 40 mark. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. That was a long one. I'm pooped. Please do, again, I beg of you, find me on Twitter, at Dan Vesperus. Even if you want to just ask me a poop question on social media, I'm more likely to answer you over there, actually, about Dookie. I am indeed the host of Fantasy NBA Today here on Sports Ethos. Everybody's saying run away. Run from the poop. Honestly, at this point, now I kind of want to just sit here and see what weird stuff comes in the chat room, but I'm not going to do that because I got other things to do with the rest of my day, like bathe. Yeah, that's the thing we get to do. We'll see if I get a show in over the weekend. I'm going to try. Wife is out of town with one of the two kids, so we'll see if we can get a mock draft maybe over the weekend, maybe a little Roto strategy. We have a slow mock going with the industry folk at this point. We'll be posting about that over on social media. And yeah, that's it, I guess. There you go. This is real. Surprised no one talks about bidets with all these poop questions. I've talked about bidets on this show before, right? Yeah. Asaf is so nice, but he didn't answer my questions. Yeah, because I don't think we need to. I answered your question the best way I could know how. Don't do it. Don't pair. Attack. attack. Well, I had to ban somebody. They went a little heavy on the Dookie. Oh, now we're really getting into it. Thanks, guys. This is super weird. I'll see you guys on social. I'm going to go stop talking for a while. Later, everybody.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.